I want to talk about seven things I badly want to tell women. So I've been a relationship coach for over 20-something years, and I've always been a bit passionate about women. Because people always tell us, oh, pastor, why do you always talk to women? Why is everything look like so? Because the truth is that it's women that always feel the pain of relationships. It's women that always feel it. Even though this whole series is not only about relationship, but you really cannot talk to women and not put that there somewhere. It's a part of women's makeup. All right, and let me just say this, ladies, don't ever be embarrassed or tired of being interested in relationships. It's just you were made as a relational being. You were just created like that. The first thing Eve saw was a man. That's the first thing Eve encountered. So you are naturally going to be relational. It's the same way a woman is a nurturing being. Because you came with a womb, you came with breasts. That's already implicated you. All right, do you understand? By creation, you will love children. You know, because your makeup, you were physically even created that way. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. So I'm just trying to say, don't get tired of it and don't try to deny it. Don't try to feel, hey, I don't want to talk about it. No, it's okay to talk about it. Praise God. All right? It's okay to talk about it. And by the way, while I'm doing this, they'll put up this Lido app. If you have questions, just be sending it in there. I'll take a few before we start the masterclass. So if you have questions, you know how we do Lido now. And the question is totally anonymous. So that's why we're using this. Nobody will know it's you. So you don't have to ask for a friend. Just ask for yourself. Nobody will know is you. Go to the browser, put this Lido app. This is the event code 2620 and ask your question. Totally anonymous. Nobody knows is you. All right. So, women are generally relational, and that's how they were made. So, yes, some things will, you know. So, I always speak kind of to women. I always pay attention to women because women are ones that feel the brunt of it. Men, on the other hand, men need relationships just that they are not aware of it. It's not so much in their consciousness. I mean, a man incredibly needs a woman. In fact, I don't even know how some men even survive without a woman in their life. I've been married for a long time now, so it's very foreign to me. So if you imagine I could be existing without being married right now, I'm so used to having a helper. And not just a helper that is better than me. Praise God. You can't drive me if I drive more than you. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Have you ever hired a driver that you're doing more of the driving than him? You want to fire the person. I don't know if you have those kind of drivers. You can turn here. No, brake. You're pressing. He's supposed to be driving you, but you are doing the driving. You fire that guy. Or you hire a cleaner and you are having to go around with him or her to say, clean this place. Then both of you are doing the same job. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So when God designed the whole makeup, God made man and God himself said, I see, when God says something, you can't be arguing with God. God made man and looked at man. Remember that day, God had made, that week, rather, God had made different things. He had made the sun, the stars, the light, everything. And he was saying it was good, it was good, it was good. And for the first time, God made man, and God himself said, it's not good. God said something he made. It's not good for this man to be what? Alone. And God said, look, I'm going to remedy this situation by creating what? A helper. That's what God said. So God actually packaged everything that the man did not have and put it in a woman and give that woman to the man. So as a woman, the truth is that potentially you are extremely more sophisticated and more gifted than the average man. Totally. Any day, anytime, a woman will knock a man off. Any day, anytime. One-on-one, you are too gifted. A lot of things you take for granted, it amazes us. Your abilities, your ability to process things, your ability to observe things, your ability to make decisions. Men are way slower. That's why they say men cheat more, but women cheat better. Women are sophisticated. If a woman is cheating here, nobody would know. In fact, it's her husband or boyfriend that will go and drop her where she's cheating. And he wouldn't know. He will be with her phone and not know that the thing is going on. But if a man is sitting here, he will first be tying his phone on his leg. His phone will have password, that has password, that has password. So we don't even need to check it. The way you are guarding it has already implicated you. If a man sees a fine girl, he will stare like, everybody will know he's looking at the girl. If a girl enters a room and wants to scan the room, she has scanned the room and known the eligible guys and the non-eligible guys without looking. A lot of time, guys think they are the one that approach you. They didn't know that you are the one that approach them. Men are that clueless. Girls, you know how you do it now. You already know who you want to talk to and who you don't want to talk to. Men and women have decided from the room. They've checked out everybody. Checked out how this one is eating. Check out this one is dressed. Check out this one can't walk. This one can't walk. Only these two guys. Then you will pass there as often as you need to. Show them what you got, baby. Yeah. So most of the time women approach men and men don't know. Men think they're the one that toasted her. She's the one that toasted you. Is somebody get what I'm saying? You are extremely sophisticated. So you need to know that. You need to know that. That you are such a blessing. And my desire is that you will start seeing the value in yourself. Men need you, they just don't know it. But you need to also value yourself because men can't value you more than you value yourself. I've never seen any business or in any market where somebody goes to the shop and says, how much is this Rolls Royce? And they tell him $2 million. And he says, I want to pay $2.5 million. I've never seen that. What happens is that when they say $2 million, people try to bring the price down. And that's what happens in life. People will try to bring your value down. It's up to you to keep your value. But what most women sometimes, they try to determine their value by what people are pricing them. Don't follow that. People are free to price you anything. It's up to you to defend your value. People will price you. And if you're not careful, they will reduce your price to the lowest possible. In fact, they will even take it for free and take you for granted. So seven things I want to tell women. Number one, please have standards. Ladies, have standards. Oh, man, I can't say this enough. In my years of counseling, I usually discover this is one of the first areas that women make big mistakes. Women always assume that if I lower my standards, I will get a good deal. With men, it's totally opposite. Because men are hunters. By lowering your standards, you don't help yourself. Have standards. Standards protect you. Standards are crucial to you being your best. Have standards. You are more powerful than you think in this game. You are more powerful than you think in this life. You are the gift. You are the prize. You are the thing. See, inside every man, he genuinely desires to impress you. Somebody get what I'm saying? Oh, you'll be amazed the length some guys go to get a woman's attention. There are men that are buying things for women and their mother is in the village without food to eat. Men want to impress you. Many years ago, I had a lot of dogs. I had a lot of dogs, big dogs, massive dogs. Then I was thinking of breeding dogs to sell. So I had many dogs in my house, many. So I knew there's no way I could take care of the dogs. And I knew there's no way I could have a female house help. I needed a male house help. Because those dogs were big. They were Babos. I don't know if you know what Babos are. But they're very massive South African dogs. That's very, very massive. Big dogs. Those dogs, you don't take them for a walk. They take you for a walk. That's how massive they are. So they pull you. When they're tired, they take you home. So I knew that I couldn't get a female house help to take care of the dogs. So I got a male house help. Then after a while, it became obvious that the male house help, you know, could not do a lot of domestic things in the house. And because he was always dealing with dogs, we didn't want him touching germs and all that and bringing it to wash dishes or cook. So we also discovered that we might need to get a female house help. So we made the horrible mistake of having a male and female house help together. If you do that, you're going to breed. It's not only dogs you will breed. You will breed other things you are not planning to breed. So when we got the female house help, hope you're not videoing, sister, I hope you're not videoing the whole thing. Somebody videoing the whole thing. You can't video the whole thing, okay? Please, don't video the whole thing. Leave some for me. All right. So, you're never supposed to video at all, but it's fine. So we discovered, now, this guy, before the lady came, he was just minding his business, going about his job. From the day the lady landed, he would take off his shirt. Yeah. We said, what's up? What is your flat chest? He was going crazy in the house because a woman had come. He wants to impress her. And that's what's happening in this whole world. People are doing different macho things just to get women's attention. Doing different things they have no business doing. Just to get women's attention. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Have standards. The average man really wants to please you. But you see, let me tell you. Ladies, you understand this now. You've gone to a shop. You've seen a bag. You love this bag. But you know that in business, you can't show too much excitement. You do this thing every day. So you like this bag, oh? You say, how much? Says, 10K. So, in your mind, you are saying, oh boy, no bad like that. Oh. It's not bad. Yeah, 10K! Is it house I'm buying? You will pass. Then you'll be checking, hope they never buy them. Then you come again and say, this bag. Is it there, yeah? Make I give you 5K. Say, no, it's 10K last. You say, you know, okay, you know what you can pay. You know you love this bag, but you will do your best. That's how it is with marriage and relationship. When the guy knows he has found a good thing, he will keep trying to see how far he can push you. And unfortunately for women, this the way women think. Women are, this is what happens. Men are very easy, or men are very used to stating what they want in relationships. Men are not emotional, they are transactional. Okay, so women marry because I love you. Men marry because I need you. Transactional. So a man is looking at how can I gain from marrying this woman? Is she well-to-do? Is she hardworking? Can she take care of kids? Can she give back children? Men are transactional in their love. Women are emotional in their love. So a woman can love somebody that there's no business loving that person. Why do you love him? Hey, it's so nice. I just love him. Men are never like that. Men will always mention something that you are adding or doing for them. So when a man enters your life, he is very clear about what he wants. If he just wants to be sleeping with you, he'll make it clear. I just want us to be going out. I want us to be hanging out. I just want us to be together. He will try not to promise what he doesn't want. And if you take that offer, that I just want us to be hanging out, if that's okay for you, he will enjoy it. And when he's tired of enjoying, you say, I'm tired of us hanging out. Look at what he said. Men are very clear. They will say what they want. If they want to mess you up, if they just want to use you, if they want to keep you as a third chick, fourth chick, they will tell you. If it's all about sex, they will tell you. The problem with women is that women are very shy about saying what they want out of that relationship. So a woman will be thinking in her mind that if I just pretend and if I just give him all he wants, maybe I will get all I want. Bad decision making. And usually ends up with the man getting all he wants and the woman not getting anything she wants. So we have loads of marriages where the women have resentment. Loads. Because she married with the hope. But she never made this hope clear. She just married with the secret hope in her heart that maybe if I do everything he wants, he will do something I want. Not knowing that men are not that selfless. Men are usually selfish. Is somebody getting this? Never be afraid to make it clear what you want. Men are not even used to women saying what they want. I did a post yesterday or so from my book, 7 Questions Wise Women Ask. Any wise woman should get that book. 7 Questions Wise Women Ask. One of the questions I said women should ask is when. Oh, the guy wants to marry you. I love you. You are the love of my life. Great, I want to marry you. No, the first question I said about defining relationship. Second thing I said in that post was ask when. So I saw some message I write it. How can I just meet a girl? And she's telling me when. And that's not what I said. I didn't say when you just meet her. I said once the guy has defined what he wants, the next thing is when. Because I want to marry you, can be in 20 years' time. Does that work for you? Does that timing work for you? But you see, most women will say, if I ask him, he will run. Let's just play along. Hoping. So many women are in situationships. They don't know what they are in. Many women are praying that the guy they have been sleeping with are cooking for will propose to them. It's a prayer request. You're already serving him. You're already giving all the benefits of wife. Then you are in prayer that the Holy Ghost will touch him to give you one thing that you want. But you have given him 20 things that he wants because he's not ashamed to ask. I want to sleep with you. Can you cook for me? Can you do the dishes? Can you do the laundry? The guy is asking every day for what he wants. Can you give me some money from your savings? I know you save. I want to invest in cockroach business. Can you give me your savings? The guy is asking every day what he wants. The woman is hoping that if I give him everything he wants, maybe if God hears my prayer. So they'll be coming, the pastor pray. that he will propose. I said, no. You should have discussed where you are going before you started. You have already given too much. And I talked to one lady, I said, have you ever heard of 419? Do you know how 419 works? You know 419, advanced refer, that Nigeria is popular for. Do you know how 419 works? The way 419 works is that I promise you something too good to be true. I ask you to make minimal investment. You make the investment. Maybe it's $1,000, $10,000, something you can part with. Then I come again and say, everything's ready. We just need $1,000. Now, you'll be thinking, I've already given $10,000. What is $1,000 that I can add? You add it. You come back and say, in fact, the letter now has been released to you. What remains now is the transport money to go and pick it. That's just $2,500. You are thinking, I've already given $11,000. What is two? That's how they keep cheating on you. One day, it will dawn on you that this thing is not going to happen. And that's this how many men operate in a relationship. I've already given the sex. I've already been cooking. I've been dating for 20 years. What's one more year? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Be clear about what you want. And don't be afraid to state it. If you're of marriageable age, what you want is marriage. There's nothing to be ashamed about in that. You want stability. You want, you know, clearness. It's not wrong. It doesn't make you desperate. If we're men, men will ask without thinking. But we always think, if I say it, it will be somehow. It won't be somehow. Nobody will ask for you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When you go to a deal, it's not your opponent that discusses your own benefits. It's you that will discuss, this is what will work for me. I want to date you. Yes, for how long? We can't do eternal dating. Jesus is coming soon. I need to know what's happening. I need to know what's happening. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Be clear about your standards. Men do better with standards. As opposed to what women think, men do better. See, and listen, your aim is not just to marry this man. Your aim is also to make this man better. He will do better when you set standards for him. Men are not like women. Women have sense. Women are smart. Women, I have a book titled Pink and Blue. It's about the difference between women and women. Now listen, women naturally, from when women are young, they have been trained with safety. It's in their makeup. It's the way their brain is wired. So a woman doesn't just risk her life for no reason. Women were wired with safety. So you notice that from childhood, the kind of play a woman plays is very different. It's very risk, you know, adverse. Men, they'll be climbing trees, doing all kinds of dangerous things, rolling tires on the road, playing football on the expressway without boots. Men have a very low sense of risk. So men always appear reckless. Check the statistics. How many times do you see women shoot themselves with gun? That two men are fighting and they shot three women. You hardly hear that. What you hear is that they shot 10 men. Because men are always playing rough play. Always involving in things that are dangerous. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, I'm saying this to say that men will do better when you give them a guideline. If not, they will be reckless with your heart. They will be reckless with your life. If you give them guidelines, they will do better. They need it. They don't even know how much they need it, but men do better with standards. Not just single men when you're trying to marry. Even those of you that are marrying or you're already married, keep giving that man standards. He needs it. He will first do like he doesn't care, like you are controlling him. But look, it's for his own good. If you leave a man to his own devices, he has a high chance of self-destructing. High chance. High chance. So as a woman, you are like a regulator. And it's for your own safety too. Because if he messes up the family, it includes you. Keep saying no. This is what we'll do. This is what we'll not do. No, we'll not spend beyond this, no matter what. I might have something we are building for married couples. If you marry a sanguine, for instance, your husband is a sanguine, that's happy-go-lucky, incredibly optimistic kind of guy, you can't show him all the money in the house. You can't. He's going to spend it. You know these kind of people? That their body will never rest until the money finish. So he will keep putting the family at risk. So you have big television, but the rent is due. Some of you know what I'm talking about. He has new alloy wheels in his car, but he has not even finished paying for the car. He has alloy wheels. You don't show a sanguine all the money in the house. That's standards. You say, no, this amount of money is in fixed deposit. Even me can't touch it. You have signed with the bank. That is my children that withdraw this money when they are 18. Because that man will be good in toasting you. Say, no, money is coming. He has done it too many times for you to know that he's not yet ready for that life. Standards are good for men. Set it. Women make the big mistake of saying things like, I can't marry a man that doesn't have money. Oh, man, that doesn't make you expensive. That makes you cheap. Don't ever say that. If you're a lady here and that's your thinking, that I can never marry a man that's not rich, you are setting the wrong standards. Money should never be the standard. I can't marry a man that is not rich. No, 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 no. There are some mad men that are rich. When you say that, see, and there's some people have stupid money. No stupid money? As in money that have no sense. So when you say things like that, you end up marrying a man that has a lot of money, but has no character in every other area. But you've gotten your money that you wanted. So that's a low standard. When you say, I can't marry a man that has money, it doesn't make you expensive. It doesn't make you valuable. It actually makes you cheap. What the Bible says is that her price, who can find a virtuous woman? He said her price is more than rubies. What they were trying to say is that she has no financial price. You can't actually put monetary pricing on her or monetary value on her. She's higher in value than any amount of money you can mention. What you should be saying is, I can't marry a man that does not respect me. That's a good way to scream. Don't say I don't. Yeah. That's a good way to scream. Don't say I can't marry a man that has money. There are some women that have married rich men, but no respect. He treats them like a piece of furniture in the house because it was money he used to buy you. Maybe it's money. There are some men that have stupid money. This money I'm talking about, there are some men that don't even have any sense, but they have money. That can't be your standard. So many women, they are driving a Range Rover, but they are still giving them long range slap. In your Range Rover, I see chopping slap, long range slap. Still insulting her every day. Stupid woman, useless woman. Still emotionally abusing her. He's never at home. Never talks to her. But she has money. That's the standard she sets. That should never be your standard. I can't marry a man like that. It's poor women that talk like that. Don't talk like that. Instead, say, I can't marry a man that doesn't respect me. That's better. Instead, say, I can't marry a man that is not faithful. Those are better qualities. Instead, say, I can't marry a man that is not honest. Instead, say, I can't marry a man that is not committed to me. Instead, say, I can't marry a man that doesn't listen to me. I see the way some women talk about their husband as if he's their principal in school. I can't tell him. You have a better idea, a better suggestion, a better way this thing can be done, but you can't tell him because he's like a principal of your school. No friendship, no relationship. He doesn't have your ears. He doesn't listen to you. You are partners. Now, even though, yes, the man is the head of the home, but you are, it's not slavery. It's not that you can't say anything. I'm not saying you're going to fight. I'm just trying to say that you are there for a purpose. Not just, you're not a piece of furniture. Somebody gets what I'm saying. So don't say, I can't marry a man that's a man. That makes you cheap. Instead, look for real values. I have to move to the next one because there's so much talk about in standards. Thank God we have a full master class. Many women aim too low. Aim too low. So you are in a relationship where you are miserable. You are in a relationship where you are being treated badly. But you have no standards. Look, have some standards that are even beyond you. The beauty of standards is that even when your emotions are running wild, you have something to measure when you should not cross a certain line. Some of you, your standards should be that any man that even insults you, the relationship will end that day. If you don't have that kind of standards, when they insult you, you'll be saying, I'm the one that's provoking. Your emotions will start playing tricks on you. And the guy that is insulting you now, when he has not married you, he will beat you up in marriage. There are many women going through all kinds of horrible things, but they stay because they have no real standards. Let him know that, hey, we will never cross this line. If we cross this line, it's over. I mean it. Men like standards. Men like, they will do better. See, the way men operate, if you don't set those goals for them on their own, they might never be able to motivate. See, men don't have large relational goals. So until you set the standard, he has nothing to rise up to. Men love to rise up to the challenge. Oh, ladies, single ladies, can I beg you? Let me beg you. Please stop sleeping with someone you are not married to. He said, but if I don't sleep with him, he will leave. Never. A real guy that likes you will never leave because you are not sleeping with him. In fact, he will know you are a woman of virtue. He will respect you. That kind of man will trust you. Even when you are not in the house, you have traveled here. He will know you don't do anything. Because even him didn't see anything before you married. He will know you have character. But this is your, hello, you have removed your dress. In your mind, you are going to keep him. It will make him not even trust you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? No real man that loves you. Like I see what happened to Jacob in the Bible. Jacob wanted to marry one of the daughters of Laban. He worked 7 years. They gave him the wrong one. They asked him, what does he want to do? He said he's going to work another 7 years to marry. That's how men are. Men are very purpose-driven. When they really want something, they'll do what it takes. So sleeping with him is not helping. And listen, if you coach him with lack of self-control when you are single, he will also practice lack of self-control when you are married. Many women tell my husband cheats. I always ask them, were you guys, both of you, cheating when you were single? He said, no, we're just sleeping with ourselves. I said, that's still cheating. Somebody cheated during writing exam. He won't cheat when he's now a staff. As in, seriously? Of course, if he cheated for the exams, he will cheat as a practitioner. He won't just change because of you. If you taught him not to honor God, then why is it? That what many women do. You give him sex before marriage and you want him to enter marriage and become a saint. Are you serious right now? Of course, he's not going to change. He's used to practicing lack of self-control. He's used to having whatever he wants when he wants it. Let me move to number 2. There are so many things under standards, but you have a full master class on it. So it will help you. But whether you're married or single, standards help. Number 2. You are beautiful. I can't get tired of telling women this one. You are beautiful. The devil will always try to tell you that you are not all that. That you are not yet complete. You need to keep adding and adding. And that's why women products we always sell. I mean, women products sell in billions. And they keep increasing in price and in variation. When I was young, the only thing our mothers had was just powder. And it's one color. White powder. White. Today, I tell men, when you marry, you don't know what you're getting. You know, they say what you see is what you get with women. What you see is nothing. Because every woman you see walking, you have to be praying to know, to discern what is real and what's not real. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When you see a woman standing, there are many structures helping her to be in one place. Many buildings holding different parts together. When she remove her full armor at home, they put on the armor of God. When she remove her armor in the house, you will know. The hair is not her own. Lashes, not her own. Eyebrow, not her own. Foundation, lintel, window, all, not her own. The eyebrow, not her own. Eyelashes, not her own. Everything, not her own. The color. There are some women today, their hand is black, their face is white. There are some women that you knew them when they were young, they were black. Right now, when you see them, you can't recognize them. Say, is this your sister? I say, no, it's me. Say, how are you suddenly a European? She's totally white now. After 3 years. So, the problem is because women have that pressure of self-esteem. It just comes with you. Because the first woman in this world had that same pressure. Satan told her, when you eat this fruit, you'll be wise. When you eat this fruit, your eyes will open. Satan made her feel she wasn't there yet. That she needed to do something to become special. Meanwhile, God already said she was made in the image and the likeness. She was already all that. The person that created is a master crafter. You are a masterpiece. You are beautiful. I thought you should clap for yourself. That's a good place to clap for yourself. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. The person that made you can't make mistakes. He doesn't make junk. He has no inferior product. You are beautiful. It needs to first settle in your mind. See, most people don't realize that what's going on inside you affects what's going on outside you. Most people have not realized that. What's the Bible said, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. What's going on inside affects the results you are getting outside. If you are not attracting the right people, you need to first make sure that the inside is okay. If you keep thinking you are not good enough, that esteem issue will affect the people you attract. You are beautiful. Stop looking at yourself in the mirror and insulting yourself every day. Say, see my face. See my cheeks. See my lips. What is this one? See my eyes. They are too big. Listen, that thing you are despising is what somebody is going to fall in love with. All of us have met people that have been married. All of us. except you are a very holy person. I don't think there's anybody that holy. But all of us here, you've seen a couple where you thought in your mind, how did these two people marry? I say, be honest, has it happened to you before? Even me, pastor, I've thought about it before. I've seen some couples, I'm wondering, what was he looking at? How did he marry this girl? Or I've seen a girl, I'm wondering, how did she marry this guy? You see, all of us might not be seeing the beauty in that girl. But that guy, see, that's why they said beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. The person that will love you will think you are beautiful. And that's all that matters. You don't need the whole world to like you. You are not ice cream. The whole world must not like you. The problem is you are trying to get the whole world to like you. You want to become Kardashian, Beyonce kind of fine. A lot of structure has gone into those things, you see. Not to talk of the filter. Just be yourself. You are beautiful. The guy that will love you will like you the way you are. Some of you, the way you have bleached, the guy is praying for a dark-skinned girl. That's why he has been passing you every day, because you are not dark-skinned. You are now fair. But you were originally created dark. He can't recognize you. In his list, he wrote dark girl with dark hair. You have bleached so much, wearing wig, you are a fair girl with blonde hair. So every day he's passing you and say, oh God, when will you answer me? Because I've actually answered, but the answer itself is the confusion. The answer has changed from the last time we checked our file. Come and tell your sister you are beautiful. You are beautiful. The person that will like you will be okay. I've seen some people, I just, how can you marry this person? He's seeing beauty in that her teeth that is not well. He's seeing beauty in it. See, because for some of you, you think love is only about looks. Love is not only about looks. There's a chemistry part that we might not see. So two people might not look like it, but they are both feeling that connection. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You are beautiful. What you need is just to be able to convince yourself and be satisfied with who you are. So even if you are doing makeup or whatever, let it be light. When you overpour those things, you are overcompensating. It means you don't even like yourself. When everything on you is fake. We can't even say it's you. We can't even really say this is you. Everything is too much. The makeup is too much. The weight of it is even making your face now to fall. The powder you carry like, boom. Too much. Anytime makeup is more than just the normal light thing, it's too much. Too much. It's usually a sign that you're overcompensating for something. You're hiding something. You're running from something. Just being happy is even enough to make you look beautiful. Being happy with yourself. You are beautiful in your own unique way. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You are beautiful in your own way. Number three, let me move faster. I like number three. But you might not like it. Number three is that you are better off alone. You are better off alone. I need my handkerchief for whatever. Some of you don't realize that actually, your life is better off when you're alone. I'm telling you. And as a pastor, of course, I'm not really advocating divorce or anything. But to be honest with you, some of you really have no business being with the kind of person you want to be with. Your life would have gone further. You would have done more with your life if you were alone. It's that baggage you carried that is making you move so slow. For some of you, are not even moving at all. Just because you think you must always be hooked. You're under pressure to think you must have somebody. Remember that even before marriage, you are a human being. There's a destiny attached to you. There's something you are called to do. And you see, this pressure of I must be with somebody is what makes people enter a bad relationship. Many women in their subconscious think that a bad relationship is better than no relationship. And that's not true. Sometimes no relationship is better than what? A bad relationship. Some women's destiny have been crushed and killed just because they say, I must marry someone. Then they married a guy that cut their wings, cut their dreams, cut their self-esteem. I mean, how many of you have had those kind of friends that from when they married, their life just started going down? I mean, these were high-flying women, great achieving women, but they must marry. They must marry. And they chose the first person that they could see. You see, when you have that pressure, I must marry, then you choose anybody. When you come with the mindset that, look, I'd rather be alone than enter a bad relationship, you make better decisions. You make better decisions. Some of you are better off alone. I can't count how many women are operating way below their potential just because they got married. Just because they got engaged. Guys beating you, cutting your dreams, you know, telling you not to take jobs you should take, telling you not to take a position you should take, telling you not to get. I mean, I see those men every day. Telling you, he will not add anything, he will just be taking. Don't marry a man that doesn't build you up. From when you are dating, you'll be checking his level of interest in your well-being. The next Love Namai seminar is titled How to Know If He Really Loves You. That's next LDM in March, so don't miss that. You need to know how to know if this guy loves you or if he's just there to use you. What does he have any interest in your well-being? Not in our, in your. Is he trying for you to be the best version of you? If he can't contribute to that, man, leave him. He's a user. You are better off alone. Two should be better than one. That's what the Bible says. So you remain as one, except being two will make it better. Some people, one is better than two. They have moved from being great to being not so great just because of the person they married. There's nothing as bad as having dead weight. Nothing as bad as that. Because life is a race. In fact, that's what the Bible said in the book of Hebrews. Say, for the race that is set before us. Life is a race. He said, let's put aside every weight. Because weights don't help you function well in a race. So you can't carry someone. He's not willing to go anywhere with his life. He's not ambitious. He mustn't be rich, but he must be hardworking. Don't ask a man the size of his television. Ask him the size of his vision. Don't marry a man with television. Marry a man with vision. If he has vision, he will put you on television. So women check out the wrong things. Does he have a car? As in, seriously? You know, that's what some women, I'm being real with you. That's what I love you think. That's what I love you think of. You would generally give a man with a car more attention than the one that is trekking. Not knowing that the guy that is trekking has a brighter future than the one that is driving. Are you here, somebody? Some of you are better off alone. Before marriage, most women's problem is who you marry. After marriage, your problem is still who you marry. You didn't get that, I'll say it again. Before marriage, most women are bothered about who they marry. After marriage, they're still bothered about who they marry. It's still the problem. It's still the problem. Do something other than men. Focus on something other than men. Build your career. Build hobbies. Build your skills. Build yourself. Because for some of you, at the end of the day, you are all you've got. You are all you've got. Don't abandon your dreams because of any man. Don't do that. Of course, you should be supportive of his dreams, but he too has to be supportive of your dreams. At the end of the day, you are all you've got. So women are hearing this thing late. Invested their whole life. Who will you tell these stories? Who do you think wants to hear? That if you see what I suffered, I did everything for your father. I did. Nobody wants to hear these stories. Nobody has time for these stories. You owe God to fulfill your destiny. Ladies, you have a destiny, and it's not just to marry. You have your own destiny. You have your own calling. You have your own place in life. It's not just about marriage. I don't want to waste too much time on this one. I can stay there all day. Number four. Learn more. Is number four of seven things I really badly want to tell women. Learn more about men than just attracting them. Learn more about men than attracting them. What do I mean by that? The average lady knows a lot of the things that can attract a man. Very few of them know how to keep a man or how to relate with a man, not even necessarily keeping him. It's a wiser investment to learn how men think, how men operate. It's a wiser investment than just attracting him. Attracting him is the beginning of the journey. So women know about makeup. They know about sexy colors. They know about sexy clothes. Hey, all the dressing you are seeing women taking off their clothes. The skirt is short. All her bosom is showing. All that's about attention. It's about attention. It's about men's attention. Yeah. So much is going into attracting the men. You better learn about how he thinks. Learn about his person. Learning about him will give you more peace than just merely attracting him. That's why everybody here should get that book. And I'm doing a full masterclass on decoding men today. Learn about men. I mean, you will get more peace learning about men than just attracting them. I mean, this is why many women are shocked. To be honest, I always feel sorry when I see some brides, the way they are dancing on their wedding. I'm always praying in my heart, does she know what she's getting into? Does she know? Because what happens in a marriage on the wedding day is very interesting. The man is hoping that may she never change. And the woman is hoping that he will change. Wedding day. That's what's happening. The man is saying, no, because she had, remember I told you earlier on, she has been pretending to like many things that she doesn't like. She has been pretending to take many things she shouldn't be taking. So he's hoping, hey, this girl, the way she's submissive, the way she gives me all her money, the way she obeys me, the way she cooks for me, the way she does everything I like, may she never change. Because I plan to use her very well in marriage. Then she's singing, even though I suffered for this boy, I will change him. When we marry, he will start listening to me. When we marry, he will help me at home. When we marry, he will be staying at home. He will change. They both enter and they are shocked. Because she changes, because she's tired of taking rubbish. So she starts making demands that he never expected. Tell me I love you. Ha. He'll be like, I didn't know I'm supposed to say that every week. He said, yes. She didn't tell him the other one before. She didn't make demands. She was just coping with anything. Trying to make it to the wedding day. So he's shocked that she's now asking for things. You can't be going out late now. We are married. Ah. When he was dating, he was always out. So he's shocked. Then on the other side, the woman is shocked that he too doesn't want to change. The man sees the wedding as the end of something. The woman sees the wedding as the beginning of something. The man thinks, now that we're married, it's over. Nobody will trouble me again. He thinks it's the end. Meanwhile, the woman is saying, now that we're married, we will start the journey. So they are both shocked. They are both shocked at each other. Learn about men. Learn about how men think. It will help you communicate better. It will help you be a better helper to them. It will help you get the best out of them. Because married men is like buying a device. Reading the manual is the best way to enjoy your phone. Just buying the phone is not enough. I have iPhone 20. Great. Do you know the features? No, I just have this phone. You need to know what it can do. When you know what it can do, you get the best out of it. Do you know many? It's recently I knew that most phones, while they are doing video, you can be taking pictures. I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know. I'm not a geek. Some of you too, you don't know. Don't pretend like some of you. Okay, women take a lot of pictures, so you know. Me, I didn't know. I thought if you're doing video, you're doing video. If you're taking picture, I'm taking picture. Somebody just showed me on my phone that, no, you can click this. You'll be taking pictures. Now, I'm just trying to show you that all this while, I was missing out on what it was my phone. I paid for it, but I was not getting the best. See, many of you, that's how you men in your life is or will be. If you don't learn about men. You have a man, but you're not getting the best out of it because you don't know how it operates. You think being nice is enough. You need to understand men. Men are hunters, not husbandmen. You need to understand this. And because women are natural nurturers, they assume that every creature like them is going to be a nurturer. Men are not nurturers, so men are hunters. So men are great at hunting. They are not great at keeping what they hunt. No hunter has the responsibility of keeping the spoil. His own is just to what? Get the spoil. So that's why you notice when he's toasting you, he's doing everything. He's calling you every day, chatting with you every morning and night, praying with you, visiting you, no matter how far away. He's a hunter. He's in his element. The moment you agree, you notice everything drops, Abby, because he's not trained or wired to play the game from that point. He suddenly becomes totally clueless. So what do I do? He just agreed. What do I do now? Oh no. Oh no, I didn't think it was going to be this fast. Because they hunt. Men don't even need coaching to hunt. They love to hunt. They were created to hunt. Where they need coaching is in keeping. They don't know what to do after the hunt. So the phone calls drops. Being nice drops. He doesn't even take you out again. And it gets worse and worse as you get married. Except he's coached. Except he's trained. Except he's channeled. Somebody get what I'm saying? So my wife had to teach me. After she agreed, I won't call. If we see on Monday and we plan to see next Monday, throughout the week, I won't call. She'll be like, no, you can't talk to me this Monday and not call me before we see again. I didn't know that. Sincerely. So I have to start calling. Then when I call her, I'll say, hello, how are you? I say, I just say, make her hail you. She said, no, I'm not one of your guys. You can't hail me. Do you understand? She had to teach me. Now, if she just left it and be sulking and hoping that we get it one day, it's not going to happen. Hunting is where my skills are. After hunting, most men are clueless. They don't even know they should call you. My wife had to teach me that if you take me to the bus stop and I take a bus or a cab, whatever, home, you need to call to make sure I've got you home. Ah. I said, when you told me we're going home, I believe you. I have to call to check. I thought you are going home. You said you are going home. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Most men are not husbandmen. They are hunters. That's why. And men enjoy hunting. They don't enjoy husbandry. Even though they have to do both. But they don't enjoy husbandry. They enjoy hunting. Hunting comes natural. Husbandry doesn't come natural. So they have to be taught one. Even though one flows naturally. So, this is why everything drops from the day you agree. He doesn't know what to do. Sincerely doesn't know what to do. And this one happens most times. Men run away from things they don't do well. So if he feels he's not being a great husband, you're always sulking, you're always complaining. Men run away from what they don't do well. He will go back to hunting. A lot of men cheat, not because they're even looking for a new woman. The only way and the only place they feel like men, the only place they feel successful is in hunting. So he has gotten you. You are complaining every day. See where you are putting your clothes. You don't come home early. You don't call me. I don't call you. You don't tell me you love me. I don't know. He'll keep feeling, hey, I'm a useless husband. But I'm a great hunter. I better go and hunt. Let me go where I will shine. So he will start chatting with somebody he should not be chatting with. He's enjoying the hunt. He loves the hunt. So he needs to be schooled. He needs to be trained to go and hunt business instead of hunting other women. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So I'm just, this point, the basic point is that, you know, learn more about the man. Learn more about who he is. Men don't share a problem with you if they don't see you as the solution. Women talk for a different reason than men. Women talk to express. Women talk when they love somebody. Whether or not the person can solve the problem or not. In fact, they don't even want a solution. They want a listening ear. So women talk out of love. Men talk strictly for solution. So if a man doesn't feel you are in a position to solve his problem, he's not going to even tell you. So you think he doesn't talk. He talks. He just doesn't. All the things going on in his mind, there's none you can solve. The only one he will tell you is one he feels you can solve. So you need to coach him to understand that, look, I might not look like I can solve it. But it's important you carry me along. Because I even have more powers than you know. I can even at least pray. Do you understand? You have to coach him. Come on, don't talk like that. That's why when you are talking to a man, he's trying to coach you to give you the solution. Meanwhile, that's not it. You want him to hear you out. For men, he doesn't think, we're not talking just for talking. You see, you are going to be saying, honey, my colleague, I'm tired of that girl, I swear. We entered the car together. And every time, we know we're always entering the car together. And she will now be, and he will just be like, stop entering her car. And in fact, I'm going to call a driver for you. I've been telling you I wanted to get it. You'll be like, no. I just want to tell you the story. But men think solution. So that's why he's not going to talk to you about a lot of things. Because he feels, what do you know about what Asna is going through? You can't solve it. He will rather talk to his friends. What do you know about the problem in my finances? He will think, so he doesn't see the need to talk. So you need to coach him to talk. You need to learn how to ask him questions in a non-threatening way. You need to understand why men find it hard to say, I'm sorry. You need to know why men find it hard to pray with you. You need to know why men find it hard to talk about their feelings. Because men are generally terrified by being open. Women love to be open. Wow. It's a big deal. Women love to express. Women love to be vulnerable. Men hate to be vulnerable. They like to be in control. So these three things make them vulnerable. Saying I'm sorry means they are going to accept they were wrong. Means it's going to affect how they see themselves. They want to always be right. So the best apology you get from most men is that he will laugh with you about something else. He has apologized. You're the one that doesn't know he has apologized. You know, many women say that. He has not apologized. I say, has he just said with you about something? I say, yes. I say, that's his way. He has apologized. Now, what do you do in that kind of case? Accept that apology. Laugh with him. Then later, still tell him that, you know, next time, if you offend me, just tell me the words, I'm sorry. And don't do it in a battlefront way. Just mention it by the side like that and continue laughing. Men will get it. Men learn better in a non-threatening environment. If you come and confront him as war, you must apologize or else. We will not move on. You make him run or fight you. Ah, me too, I was like that. I hate saying I'm sorry. Because in my own world, you don't even tell me I'm sorry. Just change. I'll be fine. But for her, and for most women, they need to hear the words. So she had to coach me and say, no, say I'm sorry. So I understand now. So even though I'm planning to change, I must still formally present a written letter signed by two referees to say we are sorry. Do you get what I'm saying? If you don't learn these things, you keep fighting. You can correct or influence a man better when you stand by his side than when you confront him. Men are natural warriors. If you stand in his front, even if you're saying the right thing, he sees you as an opponent. And his first reflex is to fight you. When you stand beside him, he sees you as an ally. You can tell him anything. He will see it as his partner talking to him. Very important. But most men will say, fire. You must see my point of view. So he will engage you in a battle. Even when he knows you are right. Because for him, it's an issue of ego. Not about who is right. It's about his stand. So he will maintain his stand even though he knows you are right. He's continuing foolishly in what is wrong. Just to prove you wrong. Even though as he has started a journey, he has seen that this journey is a fruitless journey. He's looking for ways to. So baseline, what I'm trying to say, you know, is learn more about the man. Don't just attract him. Attracting him is just a small part of it. Learn about him. That way you will enjoy him better. And you'll help him be better. Men are not motivated by love. They are motivated by their own life. Most people ask me, how do you learn the things you teach about relationship? Let me give my secret. Very simple. God is my relationship coach or my relationship mentor. I notice that the way God talks to men and women are different throughout scripture. God never uses the same point for men and women in marriage. Never. When he's going to talk to women, you will hear him say, respect your husband. You will hardly hear God telling women, love your husband. Women are natural lovers. They don't need any encouragement. Where women will have an issue is respecting their husband. You know why? Because there's nothing as difficult as respecting somebody you feel you are smarter than. Stuff. And most women, when the man is still toasting, you think he's very smooth. He's very fast, very cool. When you marry him, you will see how slow. Men don't even hear well. Hope you know men don't hear well. You've not learned that one. You will learn. Men don't hear well. You need to tell a man something many times before he hears you. A woman said, you don't even need to tell her. You can give her sign and she will get the body language of what you're saying. Women can know women that don't like them. I'd be like, Wendy, she, how do you know? He said, I just sense it. I can see her body language. I'd be like, she has not said anything. Men are clueless. I'm like, what did that man say? He didn't insult us. Woman knows, she tells the man doesn't want us here. The woman can know. That's why women can't live in another woman's house. They can tell. She's giving me attitude. Say, where is he? I can't see her with you. Men are slow. Too slow. So by the time you marry him, it's difficult to follow somebody that is. Have you ever driven behind somebody that is very slow? You'll be running, bam, bam, move! Or get out of the way. So God knows the challenge you will have as a woman. Because of how smart you are, how quick you process thoughts, how observant you are, how versatile you are, you will find it hard. Submitting to a man that is not versatile, that is not fast, that is not, you know, all those things. Your biggest challenge will be submitting to him. On the other hand, for men, he didn't tell men, submit to your wife. Nah. A man will get a hang of that with time. When he discovers he doesn't know much, he will tell the woman, make that decision. But he needs to learn to love you. You know why? He's first and foremost a selfish being. Not his fault. When he was created alone. He was the only one on the earth. He had nobody else to care for. Only himself. So it's a big challenge for him to actually care for somebody else. He wasn't created that way. You, when you came, the first thing you saw was a man. You are used to having somebody else to pour your love on. He doesn't. He was alone in the garden for many years. I don't know how long. With lion and tiger and elephant. So he struggles with love. He struggles with it. So if you understand these things, so I was saying this. So when God wants to motivate a man, he uses a different picture. Let me explain to you. When a man is maltreating his wife, you see the scripture, 1 Peter and Co. and Malachi 3, 2. When a man is treating his wife bad, God doesn't tell the man, oh, start treating her right because you are hurting her. God will never tell a man that. That won't motivate a man. You don't motivate a man. Say, if you are cheating, you are hurting your wife. Mm-mm. It's not going to make him change. Say, the way you are chatting at her, she's emotionally in pain. Mm-mm. That won't motivate a man. What you will tell a man is that if you treat her badly, your life, remember he's a selfish being, your life will not go well. You say, hey! He's interested in his life. And this is in the Bible. So in Malachi 2, when men were mistreating their wives, God said, I will no longer receive your offering from your hand. Meaning that you will not be blessed financially because of how you are treating your wife. In 1 Peter, the same thing. God said, if you don't treat your wife with understanding, your prayers. He didn't say your wife will be hurt. Leave your wife. Men are selfish. Say, your prayers will be hindered. He said, yeah. Magbeo. His prayers is his interest. One of my children abroad, they had him and the husband and wife had serious issue. Serious infidelity issue, not hidden one. He used to bring the girlfriend to the house. Serious infidelity issues. And by the time I canceled them, you know, after some years, somehow they got okay. When I met them again, I asked the guy, hope you have started living well now. Hope everything's fine. Ah, he said, yes, oh, pastor, you know, I'm about to start a business now, so I have to be serious. The reason why he changed is because now he knows that he needs the blessing of God on his life for the new project. The issue was not, I know I was hurting my wife. No. All Bible. So men are selfish. If God wants to motivate them, God uses their own life to motivate them. Not your wife. But for women, you can tell women, when you do this thing, your children will be hurt. Your husband will be hurt. She likes that. So a woman will gladly inconvenience herself to make other people happy. Men are totally opposite. They will gladly inconvenience everybody. Make themselves happy. Let me move. How many more do I have? Three more, Abby. But are you enjoying this so far? Okay. Thank you for the six people clapping. Thank you, guys. All right. Is the last speaker around because we'll soon go to the breakout. Okay. Number what? Five. You have to grow spiritually. That's number five. Most women make the big mistake of looking for love in the wrong places. You need to know from day one, most men will not have the capacity to love you the way you want to be loved. They just don't have it in them. Of course, I'm not saying you won't have a great marriage. There are many great marriages. But you know your own level, the way you're seeing love is big, way bigger than what most men can even comprehend. It takes us years and years of coaching to even catch up with 10% of what you're talking about. It takes us years and years and years. So, the first place you need to receive love is from God. That's the perfect love. That's the constant love. That one needs to, let me use the word, belleful you first. Then the man's own is just the extra. But many of you are empty of that love of God and you're trying to build the whole foundation on man's love. Man's love in his nature is selfish and fickle. That man doesn't even have in his best, he can't even meet 10% of your love need as a woman. He can't. He's clueless. And he's busy chasing work. Every man's first love is his job. You need to know that. His first love is his job. The first thing he had when he was created was work. That's the first thing God gave him. So till tomorrow, men's first love is their work. A man will gladly throw away his family for his work. A woman will gladly throw away her work for her family. So we have many families everywhere that the woman uprooted herself, left her job to go and be with the husband. There are many places where the husband left his family to go and work somewhere. And side chicks are delivering services there. Because a man's first love is his job, always his job. So first be full of God's love and actually grow spiritually. Ladies, listen. If you can spend most of the time you spend chasing men and trying to impress men and following up with men, if you can spend most of that time pleasing God and knowing God, you will attract the right man. God will bless you with the right man. See, marriage, getting that man, there are millions or billions of men. It's not all of them. You need just one. It takes divine guidance. It takes God helping you to find that right one. So many of you ignore and neglect God. You just want a man. You're trying to build a foundation I can never hold. Even when you find that man, I mean, you will still need to pray for him inside marriage. But you don't know God. You're trying to, you know, many of you are just close to God just to get something. It doesn't work like that. Have a real relationship with God. See, if you have a relationship, even if you don't marry, God will comfort you. You need that relationship. And even if you marry, God will still comfort you. Because you will still need comfort. When that guy annoys you, gets on your nerves. Is somebody getting this? Oh, I can't count how many times my wife have saved my life because she can hear God. I can't count. She will just say, I sense this, or I hear this. She hears God. Sometimes I'm literally afraid of her. I'm telling you. I'm not joking. She can hear things. Sometimes she can hear my thoughts. So what are you doing? Ah! I'm not thinking like that again. I come back. She's a real woman of God. Hallelujah. And like I said, men are transactional. If he mistakenly marries you and his life starts going down, I can tell you for free, he's going to think you're a witch. He's going to tell people from the day he married. Men are transactional. This thing is not about emotion for them. It's a business for them. If you are coming to add to me, I better be increasing. If his life drops. So this knowing God, you can't dodge it. You need it. How will you raise your kids without praying? So this is not just I'm trying to get God to give me a husband. No. Know God. Love God. He will even help your character. He will help you totally. Your finances, your marriage, everything. You are going to be your best self when you know God. So don't just use God as a pimp that will find a husband for you, as an assassin that will kill your enemies. Don't use God. Know God. That's how you get the best man and also have the best experience in marriage. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell you how to love that man. He will tell you, don't talk now. He will tell you, just go and pray for him. And there's nothing as beautiful when you give your man a prophecy and say, God told me that this is going to happen. And it comes to pass. He will respect you. I told you, men are transactional. Once he sees the value you are bringing to his life. So, you can't not know God. You cannot be serious with God. There are too many ladies that don't. I mean, they just want to walk with God on the surface. Look, there are deeper things. You too have a destiny in God. There are things God wants to do with your life. There are things God wants to show you. He said, great and mighty things that you have never seen. There are things about your life. Many of you are not even touching it at all. You are just obsessed with men. You don't know that these men are not worth all that stress you are doing. They are not worth it. Know God. Know God. That's your greatest comfort. If that man even messes up, you have God. Many women have lost their minds because they have no stability that only God can give. They were building their whole life on the man. And once the man shifted, you see her crashing. I don't know if you have seen those women before. Everything crashes. Because her whole life was built on a man. Let it be built on God. How much do you know God? Do you hear God? That's how my wife knew I was her husband. She actually heard God. God gave her specifics about me to confirm that I'm her husband. Many of your husbands is nearby, but you don't hear God. You're just following DM. You're following whoever slides to your DM. So you're always at a confused state. Say, Pastor, I have two men toasting me. I don't know which one is real. How will I know which one is real? I don't know either. But there's somebody that knows. If you could spend your time knowing that person. Hallelujah. There's somebody that knows. I wish many women can be more spiritual. That's why we have a whole master class on it today. Your 99% of your problems will be taken care of. If you can hear God. God needs to order your steps. Everything you're looking for in this life is already around. It's about hearing God. Has God ever spoken to you? I don't want to give you many, many stories. There are many times my wife's prayers have rescued me. Many times. And I didn't tell her to pray. I was just somewhere where something dangerous was happening and she sensed in her spirit that she should pray. Oh, I always love when she does that. When she said, I sense in my spirit that she should pray. I say, pray, pray, pray. Yeah, I'm watching match. Pray. I'm telling you. Many times. I was in trouble one time in Cotonou. Went to buy a car. and there were fights broke out. And they were beating Nigerians. Flogging them. I saw it in my eye. They were planking them. Fighting all Nigerians. And she didn't know anything was going on in Kotonu there. She was at home. She just said, she felt in her spirit to just begin to pray for me. And we walked past the fight like this. To where they went to hide us. And nobody even looked at us. And the person that was by my side is fairer than me. So there's no way they wouldn't know we are Nigerians. She prayed at that exact same time. So many times she has saved my life like that. So many times. There's nothing like a spiritual woman. I'm telling you. You see, when I say these things, people don't understand. There's something about a praying woman. You can clap if you want to clap. This is a good point to clap. Let me tell you why the prayer of a woman is stronger or is strong. I might not be able to use stronger. Let me say strong. Because people don't understand it. They're wondering, oh, is it that men don't pray? That's not what I'm saying. The point is this. A woman is a lover. And one of the principal strengths of faith is love. A woman is a lover. Most men, even if they're going to pray for somebody else, they can't pray long. Men have their own prayer request. It's their main concern. I've told you, by nature, men are selfish. Men struggle to be selfless. It's a struggle. They need to be coached. It doesn't come to nature. But women, it comes to you naturally to love. If there's one plate of food in the house, and a man gets home first, and nobody has eaten, what's he going to do? Eat the food! If a woman gets home, there's one plate of food, and nobody has eaten, what's she going to do? Keep the food! Natural, no prayer needed today. I'm just trying to show you that men in their structure are selfish. They need to be coached to be selfless. It doesn't come natural. But for women, it comes natural. So when a woman is praying for her kids or praying for her husband, there's so much love being invested in that prayer. And the effectual fervent prayer. Fervent, passionate. I mean, there's nothing you can't pray into the life of your kids. Those of you that have children, start praying for who they marry. Listen, you can train them all you want to train them. If they marry one bum boy, or one man use less girl, one Jezebel, all the things you are teaching them can end. So apart from teaching them and training them, you start now. Even if you're just pregnant, be praying. Even before you give birth, be praying. Not just for safe delivery, for safe destiny. That's a good clapping point. You guys missed that. Pray for them. They can go to the best schools in the world and they pick up drugs. Some people have sent their kids to go study abroad, but they came back drug addict. So it's not just school fees you need to be hustling for. Pray for them. And there's a passion a mother uses to pray for her kids or pray for her. There's a passion in it. There's a relentlessness inside it. Let me try and round up so that I can go to the master class. Point number what? Let me move. 6. I like this one. And you might like it too. Please make your own money. Make your own money. Make your own money. Like Pastor Matthew said, GL money. Hallelujah. If you don't know what GL money is, GL money is get lost money. Get lost money. GL money. Hallelujah. Make your own money. Too many women have been stressed out because of financial burdens. Depending on somebody. One of the things that is a constant in this life is cost of living. To be alive, it costs money. Just to be alive. You can't. There's no free air. To be alive, it costs money. You can't put that on somebody else all your life. It means that person can control you. You are leaving yourself at the risk of that person's decision making. Make your own money. Too many girls these days, you know, depend so much on other men. See, if you are here and you do runs and things like that, I'm not saying this to judge you. I'm just saying you are taking too much risk. Let me tell you some things that are bad about you doing runs. You are building a lifestyle that will make it hard for you to be successful in life. If you are living like that, number one, you will never realize your true potential. Because you're only using one part of you to make money. There are so many other aspects of you that can make money. You're using one part, the wrong part. The part that should be private, you're using it for public enterprise. It's not the best. Number two, you are building a habit that will put you in trouble. See, and like I said, I've done this thing for 20-something years. I don't just come up with philosophies. These are things based on statistics, based on research. Most girls that live that life of runs and, you know, part-time prostitution kind of thing, most girls that live like that, it's either they will find it hard to marry, or even when they marry, they will struggle in their marriage. I know some of you say, ah, but I know this person is married. One day they will tell you what they are going through. You know, the thing about Nigeria, about human beings, is that when they are doing something bad, they try to defend it. They try to make it look, it's not that bad. But inside them, they know it's not easy. That's why we have a lot of people trying to travel abroad. The people abroad are not really telling you what they are going through. They say, ah, bro, they take picture behind the car. Let them tell you how many hours they work a day. Let them tell you the kind of bills they service every week. They don't tell you all this aspect. They say, let's come abroad. All will be well. Let them tell you the amount of loneliness they face. They don't tell you other aspect. So all these runs, girls you like, they might eventually marry you. Check the history. The ones that don't marry, the challenge starts from you sleep with somebody over the weekend. They give you 200K, 250K, 150K, whatever. You make this every week. For some girls, even service 3-4 men a week. I'm telling you, in this Lagos, service about 3-4 men a week. So they are making crazy money every week. Then they want to marry. How many men at your age range can afford that? So the challenge will start. Bon boy now likes you. His whole salary in a month. Because as a starter, young guy starting, what can possibly, how many of them will earn big money? Salary is 100K or 150K, his whole monthly salary. And 150K for you is transport money they used to invite you for the weekend. That's not your take home. That's the transport. You don't realize that your lifestyle is building something in you already until you meet that bum boy. Nice boy, but you'll just be like, I know with his 150, he's trying to control you. Come to see me! You'll be like, what's in you? This is your 150,000. This 5K you sent me is all you're shouting. Your tolerance is very low for rubbish. So, so they will struggle to respect their bum boy. They will struggle to respect him. Then again, remember, you are used to buffet sex. You are sleeping with different kind of men. All those men have different area of strength. One is good on your upper body. One is good in kissing. The other one is good in lower body. Buffet. Then you marry bum boy. He's a novice. He doesn't know where anything is. When married women tell me things like, I'm not sexually satisfied in my marriage, I ask them, compared to what? Compared to what? Compared to what? I tell you, I speak to people like this every day. I hear people say, oh, his manhood is too small. I say, compared to what? What have you been looking at? That make you, I mean, how do you rate this one is small if you have not been seeing something? You see, if this was your first one, you wouldn't know whether it's small or not. This would be, you'll be satisfied. You're only dissatisfied because you're comparing it to something else. I'm not kidding. I've seen married women that were texting their ex on wedding night. Wedding night. He's not like you. I miss you. Wedding night. Of course, when you are building an appetite, it's going to affect everything you taste. It's like when you eat a certain kind of biscuit or you drink, take a soda, and you eat the biscuit. That biscuit was sweet on its own, but just taking it after the soda messes up the taste. That's how sex is. So most of those, even if they marry, they find it hard to stay in that marriage and be happy with this one man. So somehow most of them still do some outside work, even from their homes. And the habit has been built, the lifestyle has been built. Make your own money. What if, see, when you make your own money, you are better respected in that house. Better respected. When we were young, too many of our mothers suffered. Because the man can tell them, you are leaving my house today. And she will be begging. And they will carry her load. And put it outside. And she will beg. Never let that happen to you. If both of you bought the house together, no matter how angry he is, he will go to the next room. Nobody should bully you like that. You are leaving my house today. It's our house. Calm down. And even if it's his house, if you have your money, say, I leave my house, then yeah, I'm calling Uber, relax. And right there, you will book where you will stay for the weekend until his head is correct. You say, in short, Nigeria is getting too hot. I'm going to London for the rest. So when he hears you that night, as he's shouting on you, he hears you calling your agent and say, is there a BA to London this night? Say, this night too. Business class. When he hears that, he'll say, yeah, cool, yeah, stop. Sit down, let's talk. He will calm down. He will calm down. So those days have passed. He'll tell you, you are leaving my house today. And he knows that's the biggest threat he can give you. Or I'm not going to pay the children's school fees. Or I won't drop feeding money. I mean, those things just even make me, feeding money? Why is he discussing at that level? Feeding money? Somebody is threatening you with feeding money. That's very insulting. Feeding money. Make your own money, you get better respected in that house. You are not a piece of furniture. You're actually contributing. Hallelujah. Secondly, it gives you better options. There are many people that are married to some people. I've seen many people that say, I can't leave him. Say, why? He's paying my school fees. I can't leave him. He's the one sponsoring, paying my father's rent. So you are marrying or dating somebody you should not be dating just because he's taking care of you financially. You don't have options. When you have options, you can choose who you want to marry. It also reduces your personal fulfillment because you're not doing what you like to do. He has told you, if you marry me, come and sit at home. Meanwhile, you have a dream. You have purpose too. What if that man dies? I pray he doesn't, but I can't count how many women have suffered because their husband died. She had no job, nothing. He was the only one earning money, and he died. The whole family crushed. Children can't go to school, they can't pay rent, nothing. Nothing. See, you must make your own money. What if he walks away? Maybe he didn't die. Maybe he walks away. I cannot count as a counselor how many times I've heard men carry their bag and their passport and go out of the house and never return. I can't count. He just got tired. Men are like that. You see, when a man is saying, I'm tired, I'm tired. You see, when a woman is saying, I'm tired, she wants to work on it. When a man is saying, I'm tired, he wants to fix it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So take note of those words. I'm saying, learning about men is more important than just attracting them. If a woman is saying, it's not working, I'm tired, she means let's work on it. If a man is saying, I'm tired, it's not working, he's looking for a permanent solution. That's how men reason. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? What if he walks away? You are left hanging. You can't take care of the children again. Make your own money. We have a full class on being smart with your money, so. We're treating you good, have we? I like one caption, one of my daughters. Some of you might know her. She's a big entertainment lady today. I did her wedding. They're big in their industry. But she put up one of my posts, and she wrote this under it. The post I talked about financial independence. She wrote this under it. She says, money only impresses lazy women. Listen, he said, money only impresses lazy women. He said, when you work hard, your spouse's money would only be a bonus, not a ladder. You didn't hear that. That was deep. That was deep. Say, money only impresses lazy people. It's lazy women that see cars. If you can buy that car yourself, it will impress you. That's why I love my wife. Oh, because most of me and her, we laugh together when we see guys say, if your wife is angry, just send her a lot. Not this kind, my wife. Oh. A lot. So, with a lot, you cannot insult me. With a lot, you cannot be unfaithful. With a lot, you cannot behave anyhow. Because there are many men, once they send their wife a lot, that's all. She'll be okay. Don't be that cheap. How much a lot? You need somebody reasonable. Somebody that respects you. Some women, once you give them money, they're fine. My wife is not like that at all. So don't be that kind of woman. She said, money only impresses lazy women. Say, when you work hard, your spouse's money would only be a bonus and not a ladder. That's not, your life is not dependent on you. You're like, okay, nice, he has money, that's good. But you can do many things for yourself, whether or not he wants to do it. There's nothing as great as... I hate when women say, come and visit me and say, you pay for my Uber. See, when you are... See, let me tell you the problem with that and the way men see it. Once you are that kind of person, he's already seeing you as an item he owns. So he's free to talk to you anyhow because he knows he's the one that paid Uber for you to come. So during the day, if I'm his baby, he'll say, in fact, be going. And you feel, you know, if I don't buy, pay for your Uber, you'll be struck. When you bring yourself or when you drive yourself, you know he's not talking to a small girl. Somebody getting what I'm saying? Let me try and round up because we have a master class. Amaka is our last speaker. Close. So I'm about to round up. Number what am I in, Jerry? So number six, make your own money. The average woman is way more gifted. That's why, have you noticed that, I don't like how I'm sounding, what's happening to my sound? Have you noticed that when a man retires or for any reason loses his job, have you noticed that most times he can't even do anything else? He will just sit at home and be giving story. Have you seen how incredibly innovative women are? If a woman starts this business, closes, she will start on her next week. She will start on her next week. She loses her job. Women are just great. Hallelujah. You have so much potential. Don't let that die. Sometimes that your small money can be what will save that family in the future. That your small money. Be making it and be saving it. I can't count how many times my wife has rescued me. And most men enjoy this. When they say, I need 1 million. And the wife say, honey, what do you need it for? She says, so, okay, I'll transfer now. And he'll be like, hey. He might not say it, but he's very impressed and proud. Not I need 1 million. He say, hey, we'll daron, 1 million. There's nothing as beautiful as that. I like when my wife spends money. In fact, to be honest with you, in this marriage, I've eaten her money more than she has eaten my money. I'm telling you. That's why I behave myself. There's nothing as beautiful as we want to buy this land, we want to buy this house. I need extra 5 million. I just say, I can raise it. I can raise it. I can write you that check. I'm telling you. Somebody get what I'm saying? We are doing a project in our church. One lady, she couldn't even stay for the program. She's traveling today, but she was around this morning. She dropped a check for that project. You know those checks that have plenty zeros? And she's a single mom. That's what I'm talking about. Because men are transactional. They don't love just for loving sake. That your hair is nice. No. When he was marrying you, yes, that can be attraction. But once the marriage has started, he's not seeing all those things again. It's how much help you are bringing to his life. Make your own money. Better for you to be that addition. Write him that check. My wife has plans for me for my 50th birthday. Me too, I can't wait. Hallelujah. Because all the things I like are big things. I don't like small things. She knows. So I've given her a list of the kind of things I like for my 50th birthday. Those of you that are in church, you know, you should know. They are bad things. All bad things. No good thing on that list. All bad things. So she keeps telling me that, let God bless me. That the kind of things I want to do for you. So when a woman is telling you that, your head job touching, she says, God will bless you. I swear God will bless you. I get what I'm saying? When a woman tells you that, and not that she's just saying it though, she has been showing it. There's a history of it. My first power bike, she bought it for me. It was a massive motorcycle. I'm a car and, you know, speed enthusiast. It was a massive motorcycle. She bought it. She likes to spoil me. Anything I like. Even if I don't have money, she'll say, okay, I'll add 2 million for you so that I can buy. Somebody get what I'm saying? And she's, interestingly, she doesn't like to spend money on herself. She doesn't. All her money, she's either buying things for her children or buying things for me. So even to get her to buy a new phone, I have to force her. If I have to just go and pay. Because you look at it and say, I have a new iPhone. Because she's a gadget person. She says, the new iPhone. It's nice, Sha. But it's too expensive. I'll now go and pay. I say, pay, take it. Because she doesn't like to spend money on herself. See, as time goes on, those are the things men look out for. Not that they take you out to eat first day. Say, what will you have? You first remove your belt. Say, all this side. Menu from on top. Give me 1, 1, 1 each. Give me scotch egg and the chicken that laid the egg. Hallelujah. Come on, tell your sister, make your own money. Okay, the last one, our last speaker is around. It was him I was waiting for since. The last one, so that we can go to the master class. The last one, I like this one a lot. Please develop yourself. You are your greatest investment. Women find it easy to spend money on themselves. They don't find it easy to spend money in themselves. I'll say that again. Women find it easy to spend money on things on themselves. They don't find it easy to spend money in themselves. That means when it comes to wigs, lashes, powder, women love it. Bags, they are okay with spending. When it comes to things that will benefit them, conferences on money, on career, on things like that, become interested in, develop on character building, develop yourself inside. Don't do so much of things that will impress people. Do things that will improve yourself. Many people do for people. Solomon said, a beautiful face on an empty head is like putting a gold ring on a pig's nose. Solomon is also one of my relationship coaches. Somebody that surveyed 1,000 women. Any statistics he gives you is valid. Even Harvard has never done that experiment before. So when Solomon writes on relationship, I listen. He said by experience that a beautiful face on an empty head, it's like a woman, it's like putting a gold ring on a pig's nose. It's useless. How did he know? He dated and married one. And he knew that this guy just fine for nothing. This guy just fine for nothing. So don't be that girl. Build yourself. Improve yourself. You are your greatest asset. I've discovered that most women that are very needy are also the women that have no goals and dreams for their lives. So they always need it. Always need a man. Always need a man. There's women that can't even be without dating a man. They are always going for men. Every time they break up, they need another one. Some are even multi-dating. Have 10 men at the same time. And you are praying for God to show you the one. You're already wrong. You have no basis to pray. You're already double dating 10 men. That's not double. That's, I don't know if there's an English. So it can't work. Learn to take charge of your emotions. Build it up. That's why we have all these master classes. Some women couldn't invest money in the master classes. They said, no, it's too expensive. So women said, they're even, as we're here, they're even tired. They want to run. But how long do you spend to breed? How long? You spend more time building yourself. Spend more time building yourself. Don't see it as a waste of money or time when you invest in yourself. Many women think, if I meet the right man, I'll be happy. No, if you're happy, then you meet the right man. So do things for yourself. Do things that will make you happy. What are your hobbies? What are your interests? Do things for yourself. When you are happy, you will attract. You are more likely to attract the right person. Nobody's going to come and make you kind and better. And I'll end with this. I'll end with this part. Practice the law of kindness. I can't stop telling women this. Practice the law of kindness. What does this mean? Practice being a kind person. Not for marriage. Let it be your lifestyle as a person. Why is this important? Because it's a law of life. Both biblically and even common sense. The Bible says, let's not be wary in entertaining strangers. Because by so doing, one day we might entertain what? Angels. Your angel is not only the one with wings. Your angel might be the person you have been waiting for all your life. But they are saying, in entertaining strangers, one day you entertain the person that will be your breakthrough. It happened to Rebecca. She saw an old servant that had 10 camels. That guy was not an eligible bachelor, but she was kind to the guy. In fact, the guy prayed before he left home that whosoever lady I meet that is willing to give me water and give my camels water, that's not fleecing. He wasn't doing trial luck. He was mentioning character traits. He was talking about a woman that was patient, a woman that was kind, a woman that was hardworking. He was mentioning traits. It wasn't luck. He wasn't saying the first woman I meet by the well. No. He was saying the one I meet that has character enough to be patient with me. You know why? Because most people won't treat you nice if they don't see anything they can gain from you. And women make that mistake all the time. He was an old servant, so he wasn't an eligible bachelor. He wasn't rich. There are many of you, the way you are treating people around you, is part of why there's a delay. Because you are looking at this man talking to you. Maybe it's not him that will marry you. Maybe it's his brother. Maybe it's his cousin. Maybe it's, but the way you treated him. Say, me? You talking to me? You might not tell him in the words, but you've said it in your mind. Women, you know how many times you say it? That even this one, they follow me talk. Now, wow. Wait till I no go see. Don't ever be like that. I'll show you why now in a bit in scripture. Don't ever do that. So that woman found Abraham's son Isaac to marry because she was kind to the servant. And God blessed her. Learn to be kind to people. Even if they are not eligible. Even if they are not the people you want to marry. Be nice about talking to them. Don't be like, hey, get out of here. Don't be like, hey, okay, nice. I'm even flattered that you're interested in me. You know, but I'm not thinking we are meant to be like that. And be nice. Be courteous. Be courteous. Don't be rude. Don't give the haughty look. You know the haughty look? Let me show you what the Bible says about it. Proverbs 21 verse 4. Do we have a DJ? Proverbs 21 verse 4. That's what is called the haughty look. Look at this. It says, an high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Give me New King James. I want where they said a haughty look. A haughty look is the same as a high look. You know that look where your eye is up? You are looking down at the person. Woman, you know that look, Abby? You look down. That's what haughtiness means. You are looking down at people with a sense of superiority. That you are better than them. Listen, you are not better than anybody. And you know, the interesting thing about God is that God always looks at the heart. So some of you, that's the reason behind your delay. He's seeing your heart, that you are not ready. You are not ready. A haughty look and a proud heart. Proud heart. You are looking down. The guy comes to you and says, how many degrees do you have? Whose school did you go to? You went to a Lewin La Pamadi school. And you are talking to me? Went to Corona. Can't be talking to me. We are not mates. To keep you there a long time. See what God said. I'll close with this. Isaiah 3 verse 16 and 17. A haughty look. You are looking at people with a sense of superiority. How can you be talking to me? Who is that one? He does you. Where do you live? You live on the mainland. And you are coming to me? I don't do bridges. I don't do bridges. Calm down! Because God always exalts the humble. And he resists the proud. Can cause delays for you for nothing. Because he might not be that person you marry, but he might be the one that will cast the final vote. If you know how people miss their blessing in this life, you'll be surprised. It's not everything that is super spiritual. Some things are just one bad person clogging the wheel at the final minute. Somebody's trying to decide to give you the contract. Somebody just come and say, ha! You want to employ that girl? She go scatter your business for you. That's all. Because everybody has some people that they pay attention to. That person might never be well informed. What he might be saying might not even be true. But the person that is going to sign that final contract will just be like, eh? She did that. Ah, we can't have her here. And that's all that disqualified you. That's all. It wasn't one big issue. It was how somebody saw you behaving. Practice the law of kindness. Hallelujah. Let's read that scripture. Say, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are what? Haughty. What did you drive? How many degrees do you have? Just OND, OND? And you are talking to me? When I married my wife, she had master's degree. I had OND. OND, you know O? O means ordinary. N means national. And the national is Nigeria. When something is ordinary inside Nigeria. OND. And she has master's. And it has, see, women, you must be clear about what you want. What you want is somebody intellectually compatible with you. There are some people that have the paper in degree, but their behavior and their intelligence is way beneath you. But you want to marry paper. Anybody can print that paper. What you are looking for is intellectual compatibility. Some guys don't have a degree, but they are incredibly smart. Some of you, when I say I must marry a graduate, that means you won't have married Mark Zuckerberg. You wouldn't have married Bill Gates. All those guys didn't have a degree when they broke through. They dropped out of school. So you see, you must declare what your standards really are. What I'm looking for is intellectual compatibility. Are you smart? I don't even care your degree. Nowadays, who cares what school you go to? Nobody even employs you for that. Can you solve my problem? Are you getting what I'm saying, ladies? So stop asking the wrong things. Say, what school? If the guy is doing well, he can buy a school. Oh, you didn't get what I said. Not degree, he can buy a school. And give himself all the degrees inside. Moreover, the Lord said, and he can, nowadays people can do, there are so many courses people can do, so many certifications. School is no more regimented. So many things you can do now. So moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tingling with their feet. See the next verse. God said, therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will open their secret paths. That means disgrace, embarrassment. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So let's be calm, let's be humble, and let's be kind. Have you been blessed? I mean, that's all you got.